This episode is brought to you by Juul Wellness, beef liver and oyster capsule supplementation. We're all about if you can just eat liver and if you can just eat oysters, you're going to be absolutely crushing it at your hormone health. However, not everyone likes to be eating liver and oysters, and that is why this is the best possible option for you. These are some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, packed with bioavailable iron, B12, zinc, and essential minerals that deeply support hormone balance, natural energy, and of course, fertility health. So if you are working on HA recovery, if you have been on birth control and you're trying to come off, if you've had an ED, if you've had multiple of the above, and of course, if you're preparing for pregnancy, Juul beef liver and oyster capsules make it really easy to nourish your body every single day. You don't have to cook. You don't have to make mess. You just have to swallow these whole food natural supplements in a capsule. We love Juul so much that we bought it. So we own it. We're very passionate. It's New Zealand sourced oysters and beef, which is the best possible kind you can get. And it's on every single protocol we ever do for our one-on-one clients, and it has been from the very beginning. So if you guys love a little bit of liver or you want to give it a try, because we're the owners, we actually have the best possible discount for you guys. So if you go ahead and use the code HA Society, you will get a 12% discount for life, and only you guys and our founding members have ever gotten a discount that big. So definitely, it's the best kept secret. It's just for you guys. Go to JuulWellness.com and make sure supplementation is 100% covered on your HA recovery journey. That's the code HA Society and use it at JuulWellness.com. On with the show.
I do have a call.
That's okay. I'll trim this. Go ahead. I have a call right after.
I was going to say, I just have a client at 11:15. So like an hour from right now.
Okay. Well, I have one at 11 your time. So
okay, fine. Cool. Okay, cool.
You'll have a pee break in there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Guys. Welcome to Stop Being Perfect. There's a reason I'm really excited about this particular person on today. She's one of my earliest, firstest ever clients ever from 2020 when we first started the business. Like, so I remember not verbatim what you said when you reached out, but like, I remember it, you know, I remember you being like, I do CrossFit and I don't have a period. Let's work on this. And I know all this stuff because I'm a dietitian, but I just need some help. Abby Grimm, welcome to the show. She is a dietitian and she has been an athlete her whole life. She's always been into all of these things. As a dietitian, she works with women, primarily with women, on health issues online with her own business, very similar to us. But she has been recovered for 5 years. So there's just so many things here that I want to talk about. And I bring her onto the show because so many of you are like, what is life after this? Will I ever be happy again? Will I ever get my life back on track? What does it mean for me when I'm not only obsessing about weight loss and training all the time? What does the future hold? So Abby, welcome.
Thank you. It's truly an honor to be here. I mean, I feel like we go back so hard. I remember I could tell you what I essentially said to you on that day.
Oh,
and
do you?
It was like, it was just the way I resonated with, whether it was a podcast or information you had put out at the time, of your personal experience of being like, I was not the low BMI. I was not the super, like, extremely lean, maybe not like classic presentation of an eating disorder. And you created this, like, you created this idea for yourself that, like, you didn't fit this mold. And that resonated so much with me because that was my, that's what kept me in like what we can call quasi recovery for so many years, of just like, not that I wasn't willing to do it, but I just didn't think that I fit the mold and that this was the problem I was dealing with. Which
totally.
Yeah. That just, that like that conversation or whatever piece I heard from you made me be like, oh, maybe this is tomorrow what I'm going to do, because this sounds like me. So That kind of is, yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, we're very similar. Yeah, we had a very similar
Yes.
background. Yes,
Right.
exactly. Where you weren't, no one had an eating disorder. We just were like tracking macros and doing a lot of CrossFit. And like, this wasn't something anyone was talking about. Everyone was doing this. Everyone was eating paleo and watching what they eat. And it was going backwards for us. And that's confusing and feels lonely. So as soon as you're like, oh no, there are other people doing this, to which we now know there are many people with this problem. And it has come out since, right, that everyone had this problem to some extent. But chipped away at it, got your period back, and then you maintained your cycle for like 2 years before getting pregnant with your son, right? Was it 1 year?
Yeah, I think it was about 3 years. I recovered in 2020, but kind of towards the end of 2020, from what I remember. And then it was about a year, maybe a little more than a year later, I got married. And then about 2 years, a little less than 2 years later, I got pregnant. So I was probably closer to 3 years that I maintained my
Okay.
period before I got pregnant. But which is, it's weird to look back on because I know there are a lot of women that recover with the goal of getting pregnant, which is great because, you know, they don't realize what's going on. And then they come to that point where they're like, oh my gosh, I want to have a family. And so there's that drive. But I even had that drive several years before of being like, I know this is what I want. And I also know this is so not normal. And I was, you know, studying health. I was studying to become a dietitian. Like I had a huge awareness and like just goal around wanting to optimize my body. So I wasn't necessarily doing it in that moment to get pregnant, but it was obviously for the future and for all the things I was experiencing at the time as far as just like my overall health.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about that. I want to know, you know what? I want to know what, if you can think back, what life was like in that lead up, the early couple years within there. You got engaged, got married at the end of that. What was that experience like? And if you can remember any fears, if you even had any, I mean, I remember you being relatively gung-ho to just like get it done and it's going to be what it's going to be. But how did that experience go? And then eventually getting back into the gym and back into training, because now you're back to going pretty hard. Like, actually, this is so good. People think they're going to have to completely give up these things for life, but you're back at CrossFit or like whatever it is now. So
I mean,
tell us
yeah,
that.
and that's where I do like to be an advocate in this space for women that I know my relationship with exercise and training is vastly different than it was before, but I knew even going into the process of recovery that like at heart I trained the way I was because I loved to compete. Like I was just naturally, I was an athlete my entire life, and then I found CrossFit and it just like again filled this athlete void that kind of gets lost in college and all those things. And so I knew long term, like I wanted to make this a like a goal to recover in order to get back to a place where I could be someone that trains hard because of the love of it and doing it in a way that was extremely like sustainable and healthy. So that is definitely, and that might, you know, may not resonate with every person, but that was definitely like that was something for me that was a huge motivator because I wasn't getting stronger. Like I wasn't building muscle. I was super fit because you can train fitness. Like I could, you know, if I'm talking like doing the CrossFit Open, like I could put up some scores for some of these fitness workouts that were incredible, but like I couldn't PR lifts. Like I couldn't get stronger. And that was frustrating for me because I was like, you know, at the time I didn't really realize it, but it was like I had no hormone working for me. I had like just no estrogen. Like there was just nothing there to help support this process. And I would get injured and XYZ. So I guess to answer your question, like I don't want to give myself credit for like, yep, I found out and I went all in. And that was like, that was my story. Because don't get me wrong, it was like when it came time for that, but there definitely was resistance in maybe accepting that this was an issue or like was my main problem for probably a good if not 2 years, at least like a year of like, maybe I am like training too much. Maybe I have like lost a little bit too much weight, but like I am dialing back on my training and I am eating more. So like I thought I was making changes that should work. And then again, going back to what I just said to you, I just felt like I didn't fit this mold of like, I did not have this extremely low body fat. Like you would not look at me. I had muscle, but like you would not look at me and go, oh my gosh, like this girl is jacked. Like she's a, you know, you look at CrossFit athletes or some of these really elite runners and you're like, wow, like you can see it. Not to stereotype, but that's just the truth of it sometimes. And so I just didn't fit that mold for myself. I just kind of had those conversations like it wasn't me. And then again, moving forward, seeing you finding the society, like finding just an ecosystem of women that I hadn't been exposed to yet and conversations that I hadn't heard yet, it literally overnight, I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. Like I think it also, it was like, I remember I kind of was learning this, listening to podcasts with you. It was like towards the end of like maybe August. And then like my gym membership was like gonna renew on the first of the month. And I was like, I'm literally canceling my gym membership. And I do also distinctly remember feeling like, oh my gosh, this is actually such a weight off my shoulders because I had been in that place where like working out was not fun for me anymore. I was dreading the gym. I was like going in and like performing terribly in the gym. So I had actually feel like I hit that point where I was like, you're telling me I just can't work out. Like I don't have to work out. I was like almost at that point desperate for like a
I
reason.
felt that way too. I
Yeah.
felt
And
that way
so it
too.
was
Yeah, you
like
explained.
so dead giveaway that this is what I needed. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it wasn't hard, but I remember like day one of that first month, I was like, okay. And it was like, I didn't look back. I'm a very like, I'm a kind of a science and data driven person. So it's like A plus B equals C to me. Like, if you're telling me this is what I have to do and this is what the outcome is, like, I'm going to do that. Whether or not, I'm not saying it's not going to be mentally challenging. I'm not going to say I'm not going to have dark, hard days and get in my head about it, but like, I'm very mentally like committed to things when I say I'm going to do it, which is obviously part of the reason why I developed HA in the first place. So it was very like non-negotiable for me. Like, I'm doing this, I'm going all in, I am completely leaning into unrestricted eating as much as I need to. And it was still in a way that, you know, I love to eat healthy. I'm a dietitian. I was training to become a dietitian. So it was still tons of healthy foods and nutritious foods, but definitely lots of like allowing myself those things that have become just off limits. And oh, that doesn't support your lean body mass goals and your performance goals and those things. So that just the process helped me recover in that way a lot too, with just more food freedom. And so, yeah, I guess that kind of answers the question just leading up of just like, yes, there was fear. Yes, there was, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what my life is without this. Like, I basically went from training twice a day to like, I'm not walking in the gym overnight. But for me, I just am so like, I had such long-term goals of what I wanted that I felt like I could see in that moment, like this is going to be really hard, but it is going to be a phase. And so that's really a lot of what my perspective felt like from the beginning. And there was tons of doubts and tons of uncertainty throughout the process, absolutely, because you're just living in this unknown for several months. But I still just stayed the course and did everything I could to just like trust the process. Obviously, the community calls and support from you was like so much of the reason I got through it, and some of my other friends that I even made in the community at that time as well.
I love that you were so it's actually pretty rare for someone to just be like, oh, this is exactly what I need. But that's because I feel like not a lot of people reach that burnout stage
Right. I mean,
that we did.
I had been in that state for so long. Like, I started training CrossFit, or it's like my first or second year into college, and this all happened like 1 to 2 years post college. So like I had been living in this for so long, and like I truly think I hit that point where it was like there was no choice. Like the thought of being like I have an excuse to not go in the gym was so exciting to me. It was like I had reached that point, and I agree with you. Not everyone always gets to that point where the decision is really easy. So, yeah, that was just my experience. it.
I used to think about like what must it be like to be someone who can get dressed for the day in like jeans or normal clothes, and that's actually just what they're gonna wear today
Wait.
because they don't have to
Yes.
worry about getting their
Yes.
hair, like their hair's not sweaty. You would just get in your athletic clothes because you knew you might as well, because that's what
100%.
you were going to do today. And then you almost have separated yourself from the real world.
Right.
And you
100%.
start craving that desire to just like have a slow day where you don't force yourself to push yourself through stuff, which, I now have many of those days. And it's so, I think about it all the time. Like, that's one beautiful thing about recovery so many years later. You still have moments where you're like, oh, damn, I used to never get to do this. Or I'm not working out at all today. And that used to be a problem. And today it's a gift.
I truly could not agree with you more. There were so many days that just even the thought, like again, this is unique, and I know this is not many people's situation, but my perspective was like, I am not going to try and figure out what the minimal effective dose is when doing this. Like, it would have been so easy for me to be like, let's see if I can get away with like this many walks a week, or like doing a light yoga, because I knew so well me and my personality that like a 10-minute walk would turn into a 20-minute walk. And then I quite literally had to shut my brain off of like, there's not even a possibility. Like, you completely remove any stimulus or like pressure that like, then when it becomes time to bring this stuff back in, like, you are on a clean slate. And like, just to kind of jump ahead, it was like the love that I fell in love with again for the gym and for training was like the best feeling in the world. And I still, and just to go off of what you're saying now, I still feel that way, where like, I am still so beyond grateful for the gym, movement, like being able to train, because I went through that process and like remember how I felt and how sad I was and how much I eventually started missing it, that like I never want to have that happen again. That like there's moments where I almost get overly nervous and protective of like, oh, if I feel like I'm ever slipping back into those habits, I like have like those conversations and kind of reel myself back, because I'm like, I refuse to ever go back down that road, because I just love training again so much. I'm not saying there aren't days that I'm like, oh, I don't really want to work out today, and I still find that motivation to go, but it's so different than what it once was, where it's like, if I'm truly, I only slept 5.5 hours because I was up with my child during the night, or I had a really crazy work day that like going to the gym is just gonna burden that stress load, like I genuinely am okay and at peace with like taking a day unplanned that just isn't going to happen. And it's like, to have that peace and happiness around the gym and exercise is like just so freeing. And that's coming from someone that literally still trains 5 days a week, like loves to work out, works out hard, and still has been able to find a relationship with training that's really healthy.
Oh, I love it. I am obsessed with the feeling of building everything around my training improving and not around making sure I look a certain way. I like it's just the most freeing thing. I did not realize in the moment that it's very like I think one of the biggest reasons HA happens to people, even though they're not ridiculously thin, is because we have too many conflicting goals happening at one time, which are not, they don't make sense together. They're totally counterproductive to one another, and we do them chronically for so long. And in the late 2010s, right? So just before 2020, like 2015 and onwards, it just got massive, this idea of improve your performance and lean out at the same time. Hey, it's totally possible, blah, 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 blah. It's not a good idea. And we were made to think that it was what you should be doing because it's just so possible. And when I think to the people, like the true world's best athletes, they were not doing that, right? So it's a total like amateur thing to do, to be
Oh, that's
like, let me
so
go to the gym
true.
a whole bunch and try to cut at the same time is actually an amateur thing to do. So, how do you approach fueling for your life, basically? Because you're a mother, right? So, like, you're a mother and a business owner. We're the same person.
We are. We always have been, Danny.
And right. And so I understand, how juggle I just have like the one little like benefit. It's mostly a downside, but it has its benefits that I only have my daughter half of the time, which creates the ability for me to create a routine that's a little bit less taxing, but obviously I miss her deeply the whole time. But yeah, that's our only difference. So how do you approach this? Like, what's your mindset? What do you do? Like, let's get some tangible stuff that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm fortunate in the fact that like this is what I do for a living is like teach people how to eat. I have a lot of knowledge around food, so I can disclose that and be like, I understand everyone may not have so much of that awareness and knowledge that I'm
That's
grateful to
why we want
have.
your tips.
But I truly, I mean, there just has become non-negotiables that I honestly have carried from it. I mean, there's so many aspects of recovery that you don't have to take with you into real life, right? Like eating every hour and a half to 2 hours on the dot, or like going beyond natural appetite cues that, are like we have to just remove some very normal and natural food. I don't want to say rules, but just like principles when you're in recovery that you don't have to take with you into real life. But there are some non-negotiables that have just always stuck with me. And some of these things, while they might sound cliche, are like, I do not enter a workout ever unfueled. I could have the rare situation where I am going to go to the gym at 5 or 6 a.m. and there's never, ever an excuse to not fuel before the gym, even if it's a banana, even if it's coconut water that's got carbs in it. Like there's never a situation where I'm not hungry is an excuse. And so that's always a non-negotiable for me. That's pretty much something I'm recommending to most women that I'm working with. I know some women feel and can get away with maybe fasted training, but it's just not something that I'm ever prescribing or subscribing to. And just this habit of I am not exceeding, and again, I don't want to say I like live by this to the minute, but we're not exceeding like a 3 to 3.5 hour window where I'm not fueling myself with something. So like I could be immersed in client calls all day. I could be coming from the gym, getting my son ready for the day, packing up his stuff, XYZ, and it's just not an excuse for me to not eat. So like if I even in situations where like I don't have time as much time to like make a egg scramble with toast and avocado, like there is something always ready to go and easy for me to grab that protein, carbohydrate, some healthy source of fat is just it's always there and it's ready for me when those windows hit. So it's just being really disciplined with frequent fueling throughout the day. There's times where if I know I'm going to have a really busy schedule, like I set alarms on my phone to eat and like make sure that that's happening, even if it's like in a just a packed time of the day. Like, okay, maybe I'm in the middle of a call when that happens, but as soon as that call gets off, like if I have 5 minutes between calls, I'm grabbing something to eat. I also have the luxury of like, I do work out of my house right now. So, like, I have quick access to like my pantry and my fridge and things. But if I'm, and this is going to be something in the future where I'm going to be going into an office several days a week, like, food is getting packed, food is getting prepped. Like, there's no, I mean, I know this sounds like a little aggressive at times. Like, there's just no excuse to not prepare ahead of time. And when you have the tools and knowledge to prepare ahead of time, it's just it's in front of you and you have no choice. It just makes your decisions so much easier. So those are, I know might seem a little bit basic, but like those are just non-negotiables that like I've kept in practice. I never let slip by the wayside. Another thing prior to recovery is just like my relationship with caffeine. And so it was so easy to just like literally be living on caffeine, A, because I was so tired and felt like I needed it, but also as a way to like curb hunger and just like eat or sip, like sip on something that wasn't food, not because I like thought that I needed to starve myself, but I just like didn't realize like what an appropriate amount of food was. So you just always have this idea in your mind that like you're overeating or like hunger is something that needs to like be suppressed. Like it's
Yeah, it
just a,
needs to go away.
yes, it needs to go
Yes.
away. Like you feeling the hunger isn't a,
Diddling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's gonna need it for his testosterone, just quietly. Okay, hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A, and actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off. Biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring.
a good sign. Like that's a sign that something's wrong with you versus like quite literally a good sign that your metabolism is fueling and firing and like firing on all cylinders. And so that is like I still love coffee. Like I'm a coffee snob. Like I love to have like a latte or like coffee most days. But it is like I have one coffee and it's after my breakfast, it's mid-morning, it's not in the afternoon, and it's really just enjoyed slowly like throughout a morning. Or, you know, there are even still days like if I want to have a morning coffee like before I have breakfast, like there's days I allow myself to do that because like I'm an adult, I'm fully recovered, like I have
It's a
so much
little
other.
pleasure. It's honestly
Yeah,
like just
like
like, you know
there's
what? I'm gonna have a piece of cake right now. It's
yes,
like, I know this
exactly.
isn't an all the time thing, but I
Yes.
want
Right. And so
it.
there's definitely days that I do that. Like I'm not like there's just days, some days you like wake up and you're like, oh, I just want to sit and like enjoy my coffee before I eat breakfast. But like I'm adding whole milk to it or raw milk to it. I'm adding some honey and collagen to it. So I'm also adding some good calories to it so that I'm not just like pouring black coffee and just a cortisol spike into my body with no food. So that's like another non-negotiable. Again, I know these things might seem basic, but like they're the little things that like you allow those to creep in and just like creep up. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're recovered and you're still maintaining this level of training, but then all these other habits have gone by the wayside. And then it's easy just to slip back into the symptoms that pop up and becoming undisciplined with it. So I kind of hope that answers like that general question. I
Does
feel like
what
I
it
can
brings up
really,
for me, I liked, because so a lot of fear people have is like, I identify as this person, I don't want to give up this life. You actually haven't given up that life. You've just redirected it to, like, you brought it back, but you've redirected those traits that you have to something really productive, like that's not actually counterproductive. And that's like something I want people to know is, and we've always said this, no one is telling you have to give up training and performance, in this way. No one's ever said that. What we're saying is you're doing it wrong. So
Yeah, that's what we're,
you can
yeah,
take
absolutely.
those habits and you can still apply that discipline that you have, that determination you have, and apply it to something that's actually going to get you somewhere. Like, now you're actually going to get stronger. Now you're actually going to get faster. And I did a full sport switch because I personally was like, I hate this now.
Yeah,
I
burnt
was
out
like,
on
my
what you're
body
doing. Yeah.
feels so bad. It turns out my body feels so bad weightlifting. Like, it's just a thing for me. I was always in pain. And it just wasn't, the amount of work I would have to do to maintain that outside of the training, I just didn't want to do. I was done with it. And going through HA and my body had started to feel so much better, I was just kind of like, I like this. I don't want to go back. So I ended up switching to racket sports, which is a completely different world. But I get to apply all of the same, this is about getting better. I don't want to play for two, because it's mostly cardio, to be frank with you. Cardio and like short bursts of motion. So I don't want to get to the 2 hours because you play for 2 hours, 2, 3 hours. It's like how it is, and it's the far it goes really fast, but I don't want to get to the end of that and be tired. I want to be the last one on the court who feels that they can go again, whether I do or not is different, right? And that can get up the next day and go drill after. Like, I want that. So if I want that, what has to happen in order for me to maintain that? And then everything you said, right? All of that fueling, all of that discipline. So now, oh my gosh, I'm still that person who is dedicated and committed and consistent and diligent. All the things that everyone fears is going to go away about them if they pursue period recovery, right? Well, no, it turns out you just don't want your body to change. Or you'll see that actually this is an opportunity for you. A true athlete would say, oh my gosh, there's a way that I can get another 15, 20, 30% on my performance by recovering my period and eating food. Yeah, that's the easiest possible way to get a massive performance improvement. So if you have an issue with that, then the whole fitness thing was never actually what you cared about.
Amen. Yes. And that's where the performance and the fitness was always what it was about for me. Did I love the body composition that sometimes it came with that? Like I did come into a new body when I was training. You were human. That's normal to be aware of that and be like, yeah, I like that I was fitting in a smaller jean size. Like
I got
those weren't like,
quads. Let's
yeah,
go.
right. Like I'm not mad about that, but it wasn't like that wasn't the end goal for me. And so I think, yeah, you make a good point of you had that shift. Like you came to that realization that that sport wasn't for you. It wasn't truly what felt good for you or what made you happy. It's just kind of what you had set as an expectation for yourself. And it was just what your routine was that you thought fighting through that and just doing it was what you woke up and did. So when I started working out again after recovery, I was very, very open to what am I going to feel when I go back in the CrossFit gym. I wasn't like, I sat and said, yes, I wanted to get to back to training. I didn't totally know like whether that was going to be CrossFit, like competitively, whether that was going to be something else. So I thought it might be, but I was also very open to like, what am I gonna like feel? What is this gonna experience be like for me? And obviously when I started training, it was a very slow comeback. It was no level of intensity or like Metcons, which we call in CrossFit. It was bodybuilding style workouts, right? Going in, picking up the dumbbells, you know, doing the RDLs, doing some front squats with dumbbells. That's the type of training that I reintroduced exercise with. And I liked that just because it just automatically made me feel like I'm building some strength back because I always like wanted to feel strong and like pursued the feeling of building strength and muscle and getting strong. So ironically, nowadays, like I still thrive and love like that type of training, like mixed in with all the other stuff that I do. So that was like a really sustainable and healthy way to just like get back into this. But then I do remember like whether it was several months probably of like getting back into some workouts post recovery that I was like, okay, I'm gonna start dabbling. Like I want to walk into the CrossFit gym. I want to try a workout. I want to see what I feel. And it was definitely really hard at first. Like my body, you know, when you're doing intensity like that, like your body, when it gets out of it's like, it's not even, oh, you're unfit. It's just like the stimulus of that. Like your nervous system is just not, it's not prepared for that. Like it's not used to it. So I definitely did not feel good at first. I was like, this not only feels hard because I'm out of shape, obviously, but because like my nervous system is just like, it's like not primed to do this type of work. So I obviously built really slowly. And then it was just like, okay, once a week and then twice a week and that maintain that really slowly and slowly, very slowly, my body adapted. I started feeling good in the workouts. Like I didn't go in there and be like, oh, that like felt terrible. Like I walked out feeling good. And so I think to answer your question, like I truly gave myself so much grace and patience around what that comeback looked like, and gave myself so much time to like figure out what I felt about it, and like how my body responded. Because if I had like kept trying and just being like, I literally hate this, like I still feel bad, I've been doing this for 3 months, like I probably would have just been like, you know what, this isn't working for me, and I probably need to shift. But I was able to get there, and still fall in love again with some of these CrossFit style workouts, just being so patient with myself and coming back so slowly, instead of, okay, I got my third period, I'm working out again, and now I'm gonna go back to like doing CrossFit full time. Like, that's just not something that would have, I think, been successful for me. And so even still today, I feel like it's important for me to say, like, the way in which, I mean, don't get me wrong, once I had been recovered, I want to say for probably a full year, and like had gotten back in the gym, was doing CrossFit kind of like not even every day, but I would say several times a week, and then kind of doing more just strength and bodybuilding type stuff the other days. Then I like joined a new CrossFit gym, because we moved to a different area of the city, and like joined a gym that was a little bit more competitive, and I definitely got back into like more of like a 5 day a week approach to like, you know, strength-based CrossFit training, strength, Metcon, like pretty much every day. And I was able to maintain that and feel good, keeping all of my same fueling and principles in mind. But also just being so aware of like how I felt emotionally, mentally, and physically every single day I walked in the gym. And like there, and being able to make that hard decision of like, I feel this certain way today, or I've had this level of stress on me, and like being able to walk away from a workout that I have scheduled. So that's something that has allowed me to like still be able to show up and do this sport and like participate, because I give myself all of that freedom and like grace to like make decisions on a day-to-day basis of what I need in that day. And I know that that isn't something that is easily learned. Like sometimes there is a little bit of practice with that. Like it didn't come perfectly. Like there were definitely days where I was like, you know what, I probably pushed a little bit too hard today, or maybe I should have like let myself sleep a little bit more. But it was less about like ignoring those things and moving on, as much as instead, it was more information for me and a learning experience of like, okay, I'm just going to be aware of that and make a better decision tomorrow. And those are that's the relationship that I maintained for like a good over a year, year and a half, until it came to the point where, again, I got pregnant, and then definitely priorities shifted. So I know I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I've had different seasons of like, you know, since recovery, where I am pushing the competitiveness a little more, but never in a way where I was abusing my body, not honoring the signals it was giving me, being respectful of like what it needed in that moment, in that day. And it also aligned with a lot of like what my life was at the time. I didn't have a child. I was working in a private practice that like I had a ton of flexibility. I could go to the gym at 8 o'clock, have a full breakfast before. Yes, I was working and, you know, running aspects of a business in some regard, but like I just didn't have this like extreme level of stress. And so even fast forwarding now to today, where I have a year and a half year old, I have another child on the way, I own a business, like I have even had to shift like what my workouts and my training looks like at this stage of my life, when, and that still involves CrossFit a few days a week. And it also involves some lower intensity workouts and training that is complementing and like just providing me what I need in this season of my life. And so I guess the moral of the story that I'm trying to give is like, I'm just so respectful of like what I need on the day, honoring what else is going on in my life, and like just r allowing my body to like push when I can push and dial back when I can't. And that's something that I never did before. I just didn't know that discipline could be disguised as like just under fueling, or being chronically depleted. Like I just discipline was disguising that. And so yeah, that's kind of where I feel like I have gotten to this point, is just like just being so gracious with myself and like being so willing to like make decisions in the moment of what I need and on that day. And the moral of the story is like most days I'm fueling so well. I sleep 7 to 8 hours. I, you know, work but allow myself to somewhat try and manage stress when I can, and that allows me to be able to train hard. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it took time to get there.
Yeah, I love it. You really have to allow all of the pieces of your life to fit together versus shoehorning them in. I love what you're saying, because this was not apparent to me when I first met you, but it has become apparent as the years have gone, just through seeing this over and over again, that training is actually just a new mindset. Because, and that sounds foo-foo, but it's not. Because it appears that you can actually do a lot. You can do a lot of training, and you can also be a mom and run a full-time business and all these things, as long as your body and like the deepest crevices of your brain knows that you fully intend to feed it, and that taking away from it is not a part of the plan. For so long, we're like, okay, I'm going to do all of this, and I'm going to not allow my body to have this, and this. And it'll be great. But now it's the opposite. And it's like, I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to give my body everything for it. And so even though you may have a day where you are so bogged down in meetings and you don't eat for 5 hours, or like this does happen to me, I'm not as good as you at it with the setting timers and shit. I suck at that. I'll go a long time without eating, but it's not by any kind of intention. It's and my stomach is saying, go find food. And I'm saying to it, where as soon as I can, I will, and it's going to be good, and that's a completely different mindset. And it appears that you can crack on with a lot of things when your deepest intention is not to restrict.
I think you said that so perfectly. I'm literally coaching women on this all the time. You can do, and your body is capable of so much. Like, it wouldn't be that way if we didn't see Olympic athletes or competitive athletes at the highest level pushing their body to an extreme place, still getting pregnant as soon as they retire. Still, I'm not saying they're all perfect, but I'm saying we are very capable of doing a lot and handling a lot, performing, training hard. I'm not saying we should do all the things. I'm just saying we are capable of it when our brain is not perceiving that your body isn't a threat. It's all about what your brain is actually perceiving, so like those stressors to be. So like I could be doing five different things in my day and know exactly how I'm fueling, how I'm talking to my brain, the conversations that I'm having, the decisions that I'm making with my food and things. Completely different to someone who's doing the same five things and also pushing the boundaries with all those things, telling the brain it's not hungry, not prioritizing the food. Like I'm just giving examples, but you just make a great point that like we are capable of so much and doing so much when we do support it in all those other ways and support that hypothalamic like signaling, and so that it knows that it's safe. The second that the perception of that changes, that's why women can't understand that they're doing the same thing as someone else, eating the same way, training the same way, and having such a different outcome with their cycle, with their health, XYZ, because you have no idea the way in which that person's fueling, how they're talking to themselves, how they're all the other ways in which they're supporting that allostatic load of stress versus what you're doing. So I completely agree. And that's where it's been so cool to get to this point where, like, I can take on just such a high level of things that I'm doing in my life. And I definitely have to back off at things when I need to, but it's just all about what I'm doing to support that communication, to like tell my body I'm safe every day I can and every chance that I can, that it's no longer like it's I'm supported in the ways that I just wasn't before.
And it's freeing. It is
Yeah.
not this sucky situation that everyone thinks it's gonna be.
I
It's
know.
actually really cool and really fun.
Right.
And I want it for everyone. So, okay, I love this. This is gonna be deeply helpful for a lot of people. Abby, where, what, who are you working with right now? Like, who's the right person for you if they're listening, and where can they go and find you?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So, I mean, again, I'm a dietitian. I work with women of all ages. I typically work with active women who are looking to improve their energy, their hormonal balance. Even digestive things are things that I work through with women. I do practice on more of like a functional medicine approach, and so I utilize like some specialized lab testing with people who are really trying to navigate like, you know, more serious hormonal imbalances, might whether it be even like a PCOS situation or maybe
Like a massive
endometriosis.
digestive
Yeah, a
issues that
massive
are not
digestive issue.
resolving.
So I definitely do deep dive with women. I definitely work with women who are working through HA. That is always going to be such a huge passion of mine, of serving that population of women, because I've lived it. I feel confident in being able to help women through that. So it's definitely like a population of women that I get, but I also love to serve that one that maybe hasn't necessarily gone through HA, but like just isn't living in a way that is supportive of their gut health and their hormonal health and their overall energy, but wants to train and do it in a sustainable way that's not going to burn them out, that's not overly focused on aesthetics. And that's still to say, I help women achieve aesthetic goals that they want. Like, I help women achieve healthy weight loss. I do support women in that, but it is the approach around it and like the way we do it is just, honestly, I'm very transparent about that. Of like, it's just, I'm not going to be the one that you're coming to, and we're stepping on the scale 5 days. These aesthetic goals, like all manage health, and what I love about doing it in this way and working with this population of women is just serving them on all the different goals and ways they want to feel, and then the outcome becomes some positive changes in their body composition, if that's even appropriate for them at the time.
Turns out the less you try to death grip those goals, the easier they actually come anyway.
Amen. And I think we can both speak
Honestly,
to,
my body composition is the best it's, I'm peaking mid-30s, y'all. I'm peaking.
And I couldn't agree more. Again, pregnant right now, so maybe not the same thing for me, but I've never been more happy with my body than post HA. And that's living in a body that is actually 20 pounds heavier, but looks completely different. The body composition is completely different. The inflammation looks completely different. And I just couldn't resonate with that more. Like, those changes come so unintentionally when you stop death gripping those goals and like white knuckling your way through them.
It's so weird. Like, focus on your body and performance outcomes, athlete or not, right? Like, your body,
100%.
your chart, and I promise the rest will follow. It's the
Right.
strangest thing, but it's
Yep.
great. Oh,
100%.
so good. I
So
love having
good.
you back on the show, and I'm probably gonna have
I
you
love
back
being
because we
here.
didn't even touch on online entrepreneurship and all of these things that I also really love to talk about with
That could be
people.
a whole conversation in and of
A
itself. I
whole
agree.
other one. So I would love to have you back.
Yeah.
But yeah, Abby Grimm, right? Just everywhere, or is it more? What
Yeah,
is that the
I mean, Instagram is Abby Grimm underscore RD. From there, you can get
cool.
the links to my website, everything that I'm doing. So,
Nailed it.
hey.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Danny. I
Everybody and
appreciate
Abby.
it. And I hope this helps even just a few women. And I know I feel confident it will.
Diddling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's gonna need it for his testosterone, just quietly. Okay? hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A. And actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off. Biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring.